We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, we're trying to track. I think I messed up on Kyle Krabs. That's 100% on me. I did not know there's an hour difference between here and Mobile, Alabama. Is that right? Did you check?
No, yeah, there is.
I messed up.
That's tricky, though, because I feel like Alabama's on the East Coast kind of, isn't it?
I messed up. That's on me.
But I think that's not at all of Alabama. I think that's like some of it is in that.
I don't know, but if I did that, and listen, I had to make sure with Mark Clayton lives in Houston, and same thing with him. And so, it's so now I'm worried about Charles Davis is up there too.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll give the all American try there and try to figure this thing out, because I obviously,
we got backup headlines, we got whatever's needed, man. Arena football's coming back. I was really itching to talk about that with you this morning, because we needed another off-season football league or alternative football league. Like, we needed it, bro. I mean, this is big.
Two off-season football leagues going to compete against each other. One by Danny and The Rock. Now we got arena football is coming back.
Have you seen those commercials for the USFL, by the way, that they're airing during the playoffs? And they show, like, some no-name guy, like, running down the field. Like, it's a great play.
Did they
get
a contract with Fox? They might have a contract with Fox.
I think they have Fox and CBS.
Both.
I think they're all picking it up. By the way, why wouldn't they? Like, what else are they going to cover? Golf?
Well,
I mean, there's not a ton of options, right? I mean, for those networks, they don't have the NBA.
I know one of the goals for everybody is hoping there will be a partnership with the NFL, right? And that's got to be the ultimate goal. Try to somehow get in with the NFL.
How, though? Like, what is, like, a minor league system?
Yes.
That would never happen, though, right?
No. They're not interested in that.
Because that would mean they want the NFL to fund their operation.
Part of it.
Because these leagues will not make it.
So, listen, those guys have all made a lot of money that are doing this. I don't want to take away. Matter of fact, Kyle just sent me something, said he's ready to go. So, we'll jump on it. But I do want to say this, that, and it's not a shot, and I hope none of these guys, because I know Danny lives here in town, and Rock's in and out of town a lot from Los Angeles. I was curious, and I know you got a big name, but what is different? Why didn't make it before, not once, but twice, and all these leagues are going out of business, and we jump right back in and going, we got it. I think it can work. And you realize, so is the NFL going to allow you their practice squad guys? They're going to turn all the practice squad guys over to you? To me, it looks like Dolphins and all the other teams want their full 90 guys all off season. They want all those guys. I don't know. They want them to go get some playing time? I'm not sure. But I do know this. We were able to track down Kyle Krabs from the Draft Network. Kyle, good morning. How you doing at the Senior Bowl this morning? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Joe, good to catch up with you. You know, it's long days and short nights here, so I just figured I'd make you hold your breath for a minute and make you call me twice.
Well, listen, I got to ask you this question. I didn't know there was an hour difference. I thought I just said on the air it was my fault because I did not know there's an hour difference, and I've only been doing the show with those guys up there forever and had no clue. So did I mess you up on that? Straight up?
No.
Oh, you okay?
It's, it's one of the like nice things about coming down here is with the days being the way that they are, as an East Coast guy, the fact that you do get the hour bump to get a little extra rest during the days, because I mean, we had, this is the perfect encapsulation of the Senior Bowl. Tuesday's practice, I think, was 73, felt like training camp. And then yesterday's practice was windy, felt like 45. So you got some time in the sun, you get some time in the cold.
Yeah.
And you're walking around all day. These practices are awesome, but there's so much going on. It's a lot of football, but for football fans, it's a really, really cool way to immerse yourself in the game of football and kind of marry it with college kids and pro kids. So it's a great experience down here, for sure.
Yeah, there's so much to talk about. And last time I talked to you, we talked about some of the needs of the Dolphins and some of the strength of the Senior Bowl and everything else. Some of those names that you talked about, they've been raving about on national TV as the tight end class led by Musgrave. Has he been that good?
Man, Musgrave, you kind of heard the buzz from people within the league on him, and he only played a couple of games this year. And then you see him in person, you see how big he is, you see the ball skills. I had a chance to speak a little bit with him during the media days on Wednesday. And he definitely approaches the game like a consummate professional was. So you understand why that buzz is there. And then when we talked to him yesterday, he said, you know, his first time out there or first time playing in like 5 months or whatever, I felt slow. And then they put out the Zebra GPS tracking numbers, and he's the fastest GPS time tight end at practice. And he told us he felt slow. Yeah. Like, well, if that's what it's like when you feel slow, can't imagine what it's going to look like when you feel like you're moving at full speed. So he is off the charts traits wise. And he's going to be a big winner from this week when it's all said and done, I think.
Are we going to see some tight ends going the first round? I know it's early. I'm already hitting you with it because it looks like it's a pretty good class.
I think Musgrave has a chance to get into that stratosphere. I know everybody has generally considered the top of the tight end class with Notre Dame's Michael Mayer to be kind of chalk, to be honest, from being down here this weekend and just talking with people. It sounds like the league doesn't necessarily view Mayer as such a lock as the top tight end versus what media has long considered, because Mayer's kind of been a darling at a big blue-collar or premier program since he was a true freshman as a prized recruit. So I think you could get two with Mayer and Musgrave, potentially a third with Utah's Dalton Kincaid. I'd be surprised if you get three just because there's been like 11 first-round tight ends in the last 10 years. So you really don't get that kind of demand for that position. I definitely think you'll get one, maybe two. But, you know, there's going to be a good player that's in that stratosphere for Miami with that first pick in the second round that they have.
I'm bouncing around on you. I was shocked to find out Tyreek Stevenson, and it's not a shot at him, really playing well up there. Does he look good at cornerback?
Yeah, so Tyreek flashed on Tuesday early in the practice because they were doing a press coverage drill, and that, because he's so big, he's so long, he's so physical, was really where he stood out. And then you got him into the 7-on-7s and the team stuff, and I thought his aggressiveness and physicality kind of went up over the top. I thought Wednesday was a better, more consistent day from him from start to finish. Tyreek, I think, ultimately is going to be a press corner in the NFL. I think that's where he's best. I think he's going to have to play in the face of guys because he's such a tall and big guy, right? Like, so his transitional quickness and his ability to flip his hips and open in space if he's playing in off coverage to try to cap routes and then drive and react to route breaks without being on the body of the receiver and feeling it is just not something that I think was – with his frame going to be a big strength. So they've given him a lot of opportunities to play in the face of guys up down here. And he's taken advantage of that by showcasing his length, his physicality, and the fact that when he's on your body and he can feel you and he doesn't have to react to you in space, yeah, you can really open up the strides and eat up a lot of grass.
I got to ask you about a guy that from down here at American Heritage Plantation that went to University of Miami, Nestor Silvera. I thought he was going to be a big-time player. Yeah. Ends up transferring to ASU. How's he looked up there?
He's flashed a little bit. You could tell he's an athletic big guy. Nesta, I got a chuckle out of Nesta. He popped in on one of the other players was doing their podium availability during media day, and they have all the players from each respective team. They come in, they kind of have a snack or whatever. They're sitting on down watching their notes. Media members can come up and grab you, but a couple of guys are scheduled to go up the podium. So Diane Henley, linebacker for Washington State, is answering these questions. I was standing there and listening to Diane talk, and I feel this big presence come up over my right-hand shoulder, and it's Nesta, and he starts asking questions to Diane, and he's being a goofball about it, being funny about it, and Diane's laughing, and Nesta's laughing. I'm like, man, he's putting off like a little bit of Christian Wilkins vibes from like his energy and personality. I thought he's a funny guy, yeah. And then he comes out on the practice field, and I thought he was the guy who tagged one of the offensive line darlings of the week, is Cody Mauch from North Dakota State. He's played center, guard, and tackle this week, so he's a really interesting guy to kind of flag as far as a versatile offensive lineman. But Nesta tagged him more than once with power with his first step and getting some penetration into the backfield, so I thought that was where he really popped, was the first step explosiveness and quickness for a player for his size. Is something that definitely grabbed my attention because he was able to beat Mauch the way that he did.
All right, Kyle, I got to ask you about the running back situation. I don't believe we have anybody under contract right now with the Dolphins. Can we find a guy with a lot of tread left in the second or third round to get a pretty good one?
I think so. I don't know that I'm going to love the group down here for the Dolphins at the running back position. Tajay Spears has been the big winner from Tulane. Explosive player, good contact balance. He came in a little bigger than we thought he was going to. I know he's had some medical stuff in the past that's a question for NFL teams that they're going to have to ask themselves if they're comfortable with or not. So obviously that's a box to be checked off the field. That, you know, if you just looked at practice, though, I think Spears has been the best guy. I think there is another name that I'd considered a fit for the Dolphins with his running style, and that's Chase Brown from Illinois. And he came in bigger, too, than I was expecting. He came in at 5'9.5", 215 pounds, and he looks like an NFL running back supposed to look. So he's got speed to the perimeter. I think the passing down stuff for him has been spotlighted this week as an area of growth for him moving forward. So for the Dolphins, you know, you think about Raheem Mostert, and the thing that I respect the most about Raheem Mostert was he was really good in the passing downs, and he's really good in pass protection this year for the Dolphins. And usually running backs, if you're not good on the passing downs, it takes you a little while as an right. NFL player to get onto the field, because the coaches have to trust you with not just carrying the ball, but being good in protection and providing an outlet for your quarterback. So there's a couple of names, but I don't love this group, and that's usually the case with running backs, right? Because once you've kind of established yourself as a prospect, you're going to bounce early as compared to staying for your full college career and being eligible to even play in the Senior Bowl.
What's the deepest positions for not just Senior Bowl, but overall for even the underclassmen? What do you see as the strength of this draft in a few months?
I think cornerbacks, which is good news for the Dolphins. I do think pass rushers. In general, there's a lot of different body types. There's a lot of different, so whether you're going to run an odd front or an even front or stand up rush backers, or, you know, and all of that kind of blends together so much these days anyway. It's more X's on the board as compared to actual position designations and the multiple fronts that you have to be able to play. But guys that can stand up, guys that put their hand down, guys that put their hand down and reduce inside on passing downs. There's a lot of options. And then offensively, I would say that the depth is probably best at tight end. I mean, there's a lot of day two talent at tight end.
That may be a position. That may be a position. I think some people are sleeping on that the Dolphins might be looking to upgrade that from where it is and more of the style of guy they're looking for. Maybe that looks a little bit more like San Francisco. Not saying it's going to be San Francisco, but look a little bit like Kittle or some of the other guys there. Hey, so I wanted to ask you one final question. GMs and head coaches mostly there? Are you seeing more GMs or more head coaches or both?
Yeah, I've seen yesterday at practice down on the field, I saw five GMs and I saw three head coaches. So, I mean, they're here. Mike Tomlin's out here. He's not assigned to do any coaching, but he's out here on the practice field, like jumping in on the drills, being interactive with the kids and giving them coaching. So it's really cool to see them be hands on and being so. It's interesting to see the little nuggets that they drop too. That you can pick up some really good football knowledge with just being within earshot of these guys and hearing what they're sharing with the kids as far as what they're supposed to be doing and certain stuff. So it's pretty even, but NFL is very, very, very well represented down here.
I'm sure, man. You want to? Hey, listen, you got them all right there, man. Makes it nice instead of have to go to every school right now. Kyle, thank you, man. I appreciate you getting up early. Have a great couple of days. We'll talk to you maybe next week if you have time.
Absolutely. Count me in. Good talking with you as always, Joe.
Kyle Krabs, the Draft Network, nice enough to get up with us this morning. About 20 minutes away from Mark Clayton joining us, former teammate, one of the great wide receivers to ever play. You talk about unbelievable numbers that he put up, including an 18-touchdown season. 18 pass-receiving touchdowns in a season. You could not make that up. We got to go to a quick break. A lot more to get to. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody. Mark Clayton going to join us in about 12 minutes, 13 minutes from now. We'll talk to Clayton a little bit down here for a signing at the shops at Pembroke Gardens at Sinbad Sports. 12-2 on Saturday, along with Mark Duper. Two of them will be together. And we'll talk a little bit about the Dolphins, two number ones this year, two number one receivers in the years they had. And, of course, Clayt and Duke put up some monster seasons together as seemed like there for a long time were always two of the top five, six, seven receivers in the game. And Clayt, Mark, ends up having one year that's just ridiculous, one of the greatest years in the history of the franchise. 18 touchdown passes. God. Just incredible. Just a fantastic season. I believe it was the same season that Marino threw 48 touchdowns. And we thought, nobody ever touched that one. Well, it got touched like so many records. And speaking of records, my God. So I know guys said it yesterday. Hey, Woody, I got to ask you this question. They're throwing up Tom Brady's numbers and what made him so great and you know, absolutely dedicated and possessed to be great every day. And 23 years, including the last three, still put up big numbers. And, of course, won a Super Bowl championship as seventh. So I knew it was going to happen. Yesterday they go 89,000 passing yards, 649 touchdown passes. Nobody's ever going to touch those numbers. I want to ask everybody, nobody's ever going to – because I remember – I was one of the dummies that said Dan Marino, 61,000. Nobody's ever going to touch. Look at those numbers. Nobody's ever going to play long enough to break those numbers. Man, it seems like a lot. 89,000 passing yards. You start talking about a lot of 5,000-yard seasons.
Do you see any of these guys doing that? I mean, who are the best quarterbacks in the NFL? Mahomes.
Mahomes is the guy.
So, that late in his career? I mean, I don't think that his style of play, you know, Brady's style of play was perfect for playing as long as he did, right?
Why is it, I mean, what are you trying to say?
He's like, what was Orlovsky saying, like, about guys that just stand there and throw the ball?
You think
Brady's style of play was perfect for a guy that could just stand back there and he threw short passes and, you know, he didn't take a lot of hits. Mahomes takes a ton of hits.
So then are you talking about Joe Burrow's got a shot? I mean,
I don't – Joe Burrow's so early in his career, man. I don't know. I think you got to have a little bit of a bigger sample size. I think Joe Burrow's fantastic, but you got to have a bigger sample size before you say a guy is going to go
– Yeah, after a couple
Brady's
years.
Brady's records. Like, I don't know. I just think from a mental standpoint, playing that long is just nuts. And the thing about Brady is they were good, like, every year. Right? Like, did Brady have a down year?
Well, he got injured one.
Yeah,
he got injured,
but did he have a down year where, like, his team stunk? Like, that was the amazing thing, the consistency at that position in a league that's not really designed for that, right?
Not for runs like that.
No,
that's why they have the draft.
It's designed for bad teams to get good, and,
right.
You know, good teams eventually fall
Same
off.
Same money.
It is
amazing.
That thing, to me, is the craziest thing, that he was able to sustain it for that long.
20-year run.
Consistent.
Basically a 20-year run.
Well, we experienced it firsthand down here, so.
We saw it. Yeah. And we had our share of wins against them.
We were a little bit of a victim of
it. We were. We beat them as many times as anybody, especially down here.
But he got the better of that thing.
But his numbers, it will be interesting. I remember, like, yesterday, all those guys were close, and Peyton Manning was hanging in there, and Drew Brees and Tom Brady, and they're going back and forth. Only in stats now, not wins. Tom was by himself. But you're looking at those numbers, and they're doing update, and now they're playing against each other, and they put their passing yards up there and their touchdown passes. And Brady just, I mean, they've all been retired. I mean, those guys are retired, and Tom has just kept throwing and putting up big numbers, threw up huge numbers the last 3 years, winning a Super Bowl, taking Tampa Bay to the playoffs three times. I just don't – I'm afraid to say it in any sport now. Like, nobody's ever going to touch his numbers. They're way out in front. Nobody will ever do that. And I start going, I don't know. And I know they added a game and everything else, and the style and the amount of money these guys are making, and the shortage, and 89,000 passing yards. 89,000. You just start looking at taking them 5,000, and that's a great season. 5,000 yards in a season.
And being able to stay healthy is another major issue, right? I mean, look at all these guys, man. You think Josh Allen's going to make it till 40?
I don't know. Woody, it ain't going to be because of the rules. If these guys don't stay healthy, it has nothing to do with the rules. They're trying.
Look, if Mahomes had this injury in the regular season, he's probably missing a month.
I don't know about that. That guy seems like he wants to play.
He would have missed some time, but Mahomes has had his fair share of injuries. He's a runner.
He runs, but he
moves around. He's had his injuries, man. Like,
smart.
I don't know. I find it very, very hard to believe that any of these guys are going to play that long.
Well, and the other guy, you know, that we don't talk about that kind of gets lost, who's going to be a Hall of Fame quarterback, is Aaron Rodgers. And at the end of his 30s, he's the next guy, the next really good quarterback that's going to be joining the 40 club here pretty soon.
But he's a great example of why Brady was so great. Aaron Rodgers has not had that level of success as far as winning.
No.
Not even close.
No, you can't argue with that.
Not even close. That's why the Brady thing is so incredible, because Rodgers has had plenty of down years.
Aaron Rodgers has had some really good regular seasons and has not been able to carry it through the playoffs. It's not just him, obviously. It's a team sport, but he's a part of it. Hey, we got to go to break. We're going to talk to Mark Clayton coming up here in just a few minutes and get caught up with Mark as man, he should be in the Hall of Fame. I know it's going to be hard with the numbers these guys are putting up now, but my God, the numbers have just been unbelievable. We don't talk enough about it. Anyway, he'll join us in just a moment. But first, I want to tell you about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Love talking about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage and his 30 years of experience. Fixed rate mortgages back in the fours right now. Lock it in today. Might not last forever. Listen, a lot of people are cashing out right now, trying to get some equity out of their home, debt consolidation, home improvement, going through a lot of things, right? And you just could really use that equity in your home. Let Michael Kotze get it done. He can get you approved in hours, not months. Whatever the bank takes, you can just divide that in half, because Michael Kotze works 7 days a week. You always get a hold of him. He doesn't work banker's hours. Free credit and evaluation checks, foreclosure bailout, reverse mortgages, one of his things he talks so much about. He said, Joe, if people are over the age of 62, the reverse mortgage might be perfect if you have equity in your home to get it out, be able to stay in your home. It might just be perfect for your situation. That's why so many people in their 60s are going to the reverse mortgage right now. So I just want to let you know that if you're looking for somebody, it's going to give you great service and absolutely the best product possible. I'm talking about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, 561-441-2730. That's his cell phone, 561-441-2730. I just want to let you know, man, he is a game changer. NMLS 166-254. Rates and terms are subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender. Call Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage today. All right, welcome back here this morning as we continue on. Always fun to talk to a former teammate who was fun to play with and had an unbelievable career down here. For Sinbad Sports, going to be at the shops at Pembroke Gardens, signing for a couple hours, Saturday, 12 to 2 at the shops at Pembroke Gardens. Go to SinbadSports.com to get your tickets for Mark Clayton and Mark Duper. And Mark Clayton joins us this morning. Clayton, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good morning, Joe. How's it going, man?
Man, I'm doing great. And every time I'm with you, I do a little bit better, man. It's always always fun to talk. We were very immature, and we had a lot of fun when we were younger. That's all I'm going to say, because that's all that needs to be said. Hey, I do want to ask you, you know, this picture came out, by the way. I didn't know you had taken the picture with Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle. I thought was great. Did you get a chance to spend any time with those guys the day you guys took that picture?
I did, man. And it was a great time, man. Those guys, not only are they great athletes, they're great people, man. I enjoyed every second talking to those young fellas.
So, you know what's fun? Everybody said, man, it's great finally having a Tyreek Hill and a Jaylen Waddle. It's the first time we've had real number one receivers together since the Marx brothers. And I thought it was fair. You go back and you look, and yeah, not even close. You guys did it for a long time. You didn't do it for a cup of coffee. You did it for a long time. But I thought it was kind of good. People are talking about you guys again, and more. There's been more talk, and people start to look at your numbers because it drives a lot of people nuts. Marked it. That Hall of Fame thing, and I've talked to you about it before, some of the seasons, including that 1984 season, one of the greatest in the history of our franchise, 73 catches, 1,389 yards, and 18 touchdowns. Clay, every time we turned around, you're going 70 yards, man.
Hey, man, that was a very, very memorable season and an enjoyable season, man. I had fun out there playing, man. We really wasn't doing it for the numbers, man. We were doing it for each other and for that W.
Yeah, for that W.
Because those numbers didn't mean nothing if you didn't leave with that W at the end of the day. What? So, you know, great season, man. I'm happy for Tariq breaking the record, man. Those guys they got a bright future ahead of them, and already started out early, you know, seeing the semblance of their game in comparison to Duper and myself's game. But I'm happy for those guys, man. And if they can just put together a string of seasons like the seasons that Duper and I had, then they can really start the comparisons, and they'll be legit for sure.
Well, you know, a lot of things have changed since you played and where they are now. Did you ever think the top wide receiver targets, did you ever get 184, 170, or 180 targets in a season?
Oh, no, never. You know what, though? Not to throw any shade on my man's breaking the record, but people were saying, oh, man, he got your record. I said, yeah, man. When I broke the record, I caught 1,389 and 73 catches. When he broke the 1,389, that was his 100th catch. I said, wow, man, I only had 100 catches and 100 targets in a season, man, I would, man, there's no telling how many I would have had. But, hey, I made the best of what I had with the opportunities that I had. So, no complaints from me.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. So, Dupe's been on talking about this a little bit and said, man, I know one thing. They didn't keep track of targets back then, which is amazing. It really is, because it's such a big thing that's talked about, and all the players are aware of how many times they're getting the ball thrown to them. And he said, man, I know we didn't get that many maybe five, maybe six. What do you figure they threw you the ball? Because you guys had to go to a lot of different guys. What would you think on average, you remember, six, seven, eight throws a game maybe?
Well, that is seven or eight, that was a whole lot if we got that many. But I'd say on the average, you're probably maybe about five or six targets a game.
Yeah, it was just.
And you have to take advantage of every last one of them because you didn't know when the next one was coming to you.
Yeah, that's right. Yo, hey, listen, and we have talked about, we've had a lot of fun. You've seen the Saturday nights, and they can get a little raunchy at those dinners. And, you know, you've been at a couple of those things without getting into
deep. What are you talking about?
You know, those Saturday night dinners on the road that we do, and you've been to the one in Houston. You know, we get after it pretty good. You know what I'm talking about.
I wasn't there. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Okay. Well, you didn't do anything. I'm the dumbass that said all the dumb stuff. So anyway, we've talked so much about our huddle and having fun and what that huddle was like when it was Nat and yourself and Dupe and Danny telling everybody to shut up and Dwight telling everybody to shut up and you guys pointing at guys like, hey, man, have you thrown enough? Maybe come over to my side for a couple of throws. You know, it's easy money over here. I tell everybody it was one of the most entertaining things, the huddle, and that little bit of time between plays that we had and watching the frustration of Dan Marino and Dwight telling everybody to shut up was just classic, and that's how it usually ended. What was that like for you?
No. Oh, man, it was great. I tell people that story all the time about inside that huddle. And I really talk about Dwight in particular because I didn't think Dwight really talked, you know,
no,
to anybody back in the day. But then you would have like Roy and Geisler and Ronnie Lee and them. They would, come on, we need a first down. Let's do this weekend. And Dwight, a man of few words, he just look at them and say, shut up and do it.
Right. Shut up, man. He just did that quick. Dwight, who, you know, everybody sees, oh, man, I wasn't that good. You know, Dwight does that. I wasn't that good, man. Oh, you always exaggerate everything. And wasn't like that in the huddle. And he used to go, shut up, man. And everybody stopped.
That's
nobody
right.
wanted to mess with
That's
Dwight.
Right. That's right. Nobody said anything else. After he said shut up, that was the end of it.
He's the only guy. Danny couldn't get anybody to shut up. But Dwight would be the guy because everybody's afraid they're going to get body slammed the way he used to body slam defensive tackles. They don't want to be part of that, man. You're
no
right.
No question. I tell people this also about Dwight. Speaking of Dwight, I said when I got here, I never watched line play until – I got here and I started watching Dwight. Then that's when I started watching line play during the game.
You know, it's funny. I watch you jump way over guys in the end zones and stuff, but there was nothing like watching Dwight after a game and somebody go, oh, watch this. The guy's going to blitz up the middle. Watch what Dwight does to this guy. He's going to jack him under the – he's
right.
going to jack – or watch this on the goal line. Watch Dwight. Dwight's going to put this guy 8 yards deep at defensive – like he just did things
right.
that you're going, man, that is – nobody can do that. That's why when people talk about, you know, greatest center and stuff, you know, and Dwight just, he's not cocky. He's just such a nice guy. You'd never know that he kicked everybody's ass. It was just incredible because he's always such a nice guy, right?
Right. And Duke would always give him grief and say, he said, Dwight, you hold him. He said, Duke, did they call it? And Duke would say, no, they didn't call it, but they should have. He said, well, it wasn't holding there.
Right. Hey, so I got to tell you another story about your buddy. So Dupe is called. Dupe's taking this thing about Tyreek Hill speed, about being the fastest guy. And you know one thing about Dupe. Dupe took that being one of the fastest guys, you know, in the country and you know, running track, you know, and almost making the Olympics and all that stuff. So he takes that fastest man stuff real seriously. He goes, man, if I'd have been on that track, who do you think just flat out running, if I can put you on the spot, seems a little faster between Tyreek Hill and Dupe in his prime?
Well, Dupe seems to think that Tyreek is faster than him, but I never played with Tyreek, so I'm going to go with the guy that I played with. And I saw out there just burning people left and right and blowing their doors off, flying past them. And I didn't think Dupe was that fast till I actually seen him just you know, the cushions that the defensive backs gave him, and he'd eat up that cushion in about three strides, and then the fourth stride, he would be blowing by those guys. So I'm going to have to go with my teammate, Duper.
Yeah, it's been incredible. Hey, so I got to ask you, you know, the Hall of Fame thing, and in the old days with the numbers the way they used to be, I mean, Clay, you should have been in a long time ago. And now these numbers, these guys are catching 120, 130 footballs. You know, before you know it, they're all going to be over 1,000 catches, 1,200, 1,300. What's your thoughts on the whole thing and how to still make it fair for guys who played when you did that put up monster numbers? I know it drives Nat Moore nuts.
Well, I'll just look at it like this. I'll just say it's not my time yet. So when it's my time, it'll be my time. And I'm not really, really overly concerned about the numbers because, hey, I can't do anything about the numbers now. They are what they are.
Right.
And, hey, I can't do anything about it, so I really don't really get, you know, really caught up into that. You know, it would be a hell of an honor if, you know, they come calling, and I would be more than ready and willing to take that call from the Hall whenever they call. Hey, that rhymed a little bit. I like that.
Yeah.
Hey, man, hey, what God has for me is for me, and, hey, if it shall be, it will be.
Yeah, I like that, by the way. I do. It's a great attitude, and, hey, listen, we'll all be right behind you going. Sure, it would be a fun day for sure. Clay, you know what's amazing to me? And I had to look it up. I forgot you were an eighth-round pick. How the hell did you go as an eighth-round pick and play like a first-round pick? Give me the background. You know, what happened on that? How I don't get it.
Well, Joe, you know, I look at it like this, man. You know, I've been the underdog all my life, man. You know, started out from high school, man. I was the real deal, I think, in high school, man. And I played every position on the field when I was in high school, except offense and defensive line and linebacker, and had put up hell of numbers in high school. I was all-city, all-state. Boom. Two scholarship offers. That's all. You know, two offers coming out of high school. And, you know, hey, my mom couldn't afford to send me where, you know, the big-time schools where I really probably could have flourished a little more and been in the spotlight a little more. But, hey, I had to go where the scholarships was, where it was a free ride. So I went to Louisville, did what I could do there.
Right.
Had a hell of a senior year, man. I did what I could do, man. I was like second in the nation in total yards and averaged 20. Almost 21 yards a catch my senior year. Boom, fall through the cracks again, man. They look over me. They slight me again coming into the draft. But, hey, just made me hungry, man. I got that call from Coach Shula and Doobie, Albert DeBinion, man. And
that's right.
All I want, man, I've been a fighter all my life, man. I just work for what I want, man, and let the chips fall where they may. So I'm not worried. I didn't worry about the eighth round. I just wanted an opportunity so I could take advantage of the opportunity. That's all I could ask for, and that's all I did for the Dolphins. They gave me an opportunity, and I took advantage of it.
Boy, you did, for sure. And the time you came in, and Duke as well, and Nat being there, and the whole group, and, of course, Dan Marino coming in your draft class, and it just all kind of just came together. It truly was just an unbelievable time of really fun football to watch. Hey, got to ask you, I have never asked you this. Was there any one guy that ever gave you problems that you go, oh, man, was it one of the Raider cornerbacks or was it a Patriot running back? Was there one guy that you went, oh, damn, this is going to be a tough day?
Well, you know what, though, man? I respected all those guys. Man, I felt like every game was going to be a tough game, man. I had to put on my hard hat and go to work, man, because 99% of those guys were bigger than me. But I just felt like that, you know, hey, man, I just had the fight in me to take it to anybody that I went up against, man. And I got up to play all those guys. But one of my biggest guys that I really know that I had to really pack my lunch was Mike Haynes. And, you know, and he's one of the guys that really was one of my big staunch supporters, you know, for me to get in the Hall. And I respected that guy, man. That guy was a great corner. Him and Lester Hayes and Everson Walls, man, those guys were tough, hard-nosed cornerbacks, man. And I know that I had to bring my A game when I went up against those guys.
Yeah. Oh, boy, I'll tell you what, those old Patriot matchups and then the Raider matchups were classics, and you knew those games were going to be tough every time you played, for sure. Hey, by the way, you can catch Mark Clayton and Mark Duper this Saturday, 12 to 2 o'clock. They may be staying longer. I don't know because, you know, I just wanted to throw that in. Sinbad Sports shops at Pembroke Gardens. Sinbadsports.com to get your tickets today and get all set up to spend some time with the Marx Brothers. By the way, I love that picture that they come up. You two look just like two badasses standing there in that picture. That's my favorite picture.
You know where that picture was from right there?
No.
That picture was from we were at practice at Oakland Alameda, the baseball field where the Oakland A's.
Yeah, the Coliseum.
That was before the Super Bowl right
there.
That was in Oakland right there.
That's right.
Right there, that picture.
We were over in Oakland for the game that was down in Stanford for the game against
the
49ers. Man, I don't know. You two look like badasses in that picture. That thing is like, all right. Let's get rolling here, man.
That Berkeley area, that's your stomping grounds, right?
Yeah, that was, but not anymore. I stay away from that place now. Hi, sir. Yeah, I've grown up. I've circled around that area. Yeah.
Berkeley. Bro. I said, man, Joe Rose, man.
Yeah, that Berkeley-Oakland area was my time was long gone. It was time to stay right where I am, right here. Clay, it's always great talking to you, man. I appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure, Joe, man. Thanks for inviting me, man. I you know, anytime you want me on, man, you know you got me, bro.
I love you, man. Thanks, Clay. I appreciate you coming on this morning.
I love you too, brother.
All right, you take care.
All righty.
Mark Clayton and joining us here this morning. We've got a lot more. Charles Davis going to join us coming up 8 o'clock hour. Pete Prisco going to join us. Got a lot of NFL news to get to as well. So we'll jump on all that stuff coming up. But first, I'm so late. It's 8 o'clock. We'll go to break. We'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.